I don't have a joke this morning. That's okay. But what I may tell you might be a little humorous. But it is a true story about my mother and I. We lived in a house in Riverside in Newport News, Virginia. And it had a hidden stairway. You walked in the front door, and you walked straight, you went up the stairway. But there was a wall there, so you couldn't really see down the stairway. And one morning, my mother became somewhat impatient of me, and she had good reason. And so she said something to me, and I don't even remember what it was, and I reacted. I did not respond, I reacted. And I reacted by going up the steps like this. I got to the top of the steps and I started down. And when I hit the last step, right as I came to the doorway, wham! That's the first time my mother ever touched me in any violent way. And that wasn't even violent, she just slapped me. So I thought she'd kick me all the way up the stairs, so I came back up the stairs and sat on the stairs for a moment. And then I started grumbling. And she said, "When you come down the next time, I'm going to hit you with my right hand. It'll hurt more." And I said, "Oh." So I stopped grumbling. And I came down the steps, and I stepped into the room. And Mother had tears in her eyes. And she said, "That hurt me so much to do that, but you needed it." And when your mother has tears in your eyes with somebody like me, you hug her, and you get tears in your eyes. And so it became a very special moment that I'll never forget. She taught me a lesson I really needed to learn. I never again, ever that I ever remember, grumbled around her, stumped around like a two-year-old or anything like that. I won't say I didn't do it with others, but I didn't do it with her for sure. Okay? And so I just wanted to share that this morning because it's one of my fondest memories of my mother. I know it doesn't sound like it should be, but for me it was because it showed how much she loved me. And that's what I appreciated. In my family, my father was the nurturer. My mother was loving and caring, but she was a businesswoman, and she lived in a different world than most women lived in that day and time. And so this morning, I want to talk about this idea of what's said here is called the perfect mother. And one of the things I have here is this slide, and it says, "A mother's joy begins when new life is stirring inside, when a tiny heartbeat is heard for the first time and a playful kick reminds her that she is never alone." How true. And as we think about that, as we understand that, we know that for sure that our mother, that becoming a mother each and every time is different. Now, I've never become a mother. I like to think of myself as nurturing, but I've not had birth, obviously. But I do know that each child born with the same mother is different. And that's one of the things that makes motherhood so challenging. I mean, my sister and I are night and day different. She's intelligent. She's friendly. She's really a great teacher. And yet she was very rebellious as a child. And even though I'm telling you about a rebellious time I had, I wasn't very rebellious. I mean, I was taught to not touch things when my mother said ought. That kind of thing. But yet my sister, if you said ought, she would touch it immediately. And so we were so different, and yet she had to mother both of us and recognize that difference. And I know that many of you are experiencing that, have experienced that, or experienced it in the family you came from. You know, today, what we're really talking about is, and trying to shine, is the heart of a mother. And that's why I said the perfect mother. I know there's not a perfect mother. I happen to have had the perfect mother for me. I believe that most of you probably had the perfect mother for you, but you may not realize it sometimes, so it causes some pain, hurt, and drama. And yet, I think we as children have some responsibility to try to understand our mothers. But you know, there's another part of motherhood that I think is so important, and it's different than just being a mother. It's more about, in a very real sense, all of us today are in a birthing process. We are birthing a new world. The old models are gone, and the new ones have not yet come into being. We still revere and cherish the ideals of motherhood, but the feeling within women has moved to a greater level, and they have more to give to our world today. They still have that ability and desire to nourish and cherish children, but they also have a desire to bring their creative talents into our world to make it better. And we are seeing many, many people accepting this realization, this larger role, and moving in our world in very creative and wonderful ways. Joseph Campbell, who wrote about mythology, and in particular the hero with a thousand faces, said, "We are leaving behind the old archetypal models of the biological role. The challenge of the moment, and there are many who are meeting it, accepting and responding, is to flower as individuals." And as we do that, what we start to understand and know is that we have that capability to let go of certain role models and to step in new ways of thinking and being. We can let go of the role as the protector and the provider, or as the supporter and the nourisher, and take them all in, not just be one or the other. Being a mother is not just for women. It's also an opportunity for men, an opportunity to be that nourisher, to step into that role and to show their emotions. And you know, since there are no models in mythology for an individual woman's quest, and this is what Joseph Baker is saying, nor is there any model for a male in marriage to an individuated female. Think about that. Because each individuated female is making a role for herself. And what has to happen, I believe, is that not with passion, which is always archetypal, but with compassion in the patient and patient fostering of each other's growth. That men have to understand the role that women are playing today in birthing a new world, in birthing new ideas, in creating and giving us opportunity to transform the world. I believe it's the women who do that. And I believe that men can support that and also be a part of that. There's an old Chinese curse which says something that, like this: may you be born in an interesting time. And you know, we are born in a very interesting time. We are born into a time when everything is changing. We are born in a time where there is chaos. And most of us don't like chaos. But you know, there's nothing new that comes about without that chaotic journey of being in the void, of being in that moment where we wonder what in the world is going on. Why is it so dark? Why can't I see the light? Why can't I understand myself in this relationship with this new world? And we need to go through that in order to find the light. And so that's what we're in this day and time, I believe. That chaotic situation, which means that we need to look at the world in new ways. And so there are no models. And we have to move in the realization that we are creating the world anew. We are birthing a new world. And as we birth that new world and create that individual flower that we are, we then have this opportunity to look back at Scripture and say, what does it say about birthing? Well, Jesus said, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst, the skins in the wine is lost, and so are the wine is lost, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh skins. You and I are living in a time where we can bring about new wine in new wineskins. We're living in a time when each of us, because of the way that we can communicate today, each of us can have a say. Each of us can have an opportunity to have an influence on the world. I mean, in the year 2000, how many of you were twittering or tweeting, whatever it's called? How many of you were on Facebook? How many of you had an iPhone? A few of you may be using the internet by then, but not many, right? Because the iPhone didn't come into being in 2007. And then in 2008, Facebook and Twitter and other types of multimedia started up, seems like, at the same time. The world is interesting that when we bring an idea forth, it comes forth from a lot of different locations, not just from one person's mind. But usually it's the person who can image that idea in such a way that as they do, they are able to bring it forth into demonstration while others are thinking about it. Women are doing that today more than ever. Women have great influence in the politics of our nation. Women are more seen today than ever before. And aren't we lucky to be living in that age? I think we are. I know we are. Because it feels more compassionate and more nurturing most of the time. And so you and I are preparers of a new world. And we are to be the ancestors of those who will follow on. And so it's up to us to bring a new paradigm into our world, a paradigm that is based upon the movement of the Holy Spirit, a paradigm which we again find in Scripture. And that paradigm in Scripture, first of all, comes from Isaiah. Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel who has been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he or she, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and I will save you. It's the womb. It's all coming about because of new ideas and new ways of expressing who God was in that day and time. And then we have Romans 8:22, where we read, from the beginning till now, the entire creation, as we know, has been groaning in one act of giving birth. And not only creation, but all of us who possess the first fruits of spirit, we too are groaning inwardly as we wait for our bodies to be free. Do you feel like sometimes you're groaning? Think about it. Do you feel sometimes that there's this pain of not understanding where you're going, what's happening, what's going on? And then what happens as you groan? You move through a cycle of starting to become aware and get new ideas. And then all of a sudden, new birthing takes place. And like the mother who just had her child for the first time, you once again experience the mothering effect in your life. And so we are looking at this idea of how we can move forward. Jesus also, in John, said, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish and because of her joy that a child is born into the world. Is that true? How about raising your hand if you've experienced that? Uh-huh, yes, it is true. And so what happens, you see, we know that the hour has come for each of us to be born. and we are both the midwives and the ones to give birth to this new world that is to be born of a world of love that will reflect through us the first fruits of Spirit. And those fruits are enumerated in Galatians 5:22. And they are: the fruit of Spirit is love. The fruit of Spirit is joy. The fruit of Spirit is patience. The fruit of Spirit is kindness and goodness. The fruit of Spirit is faithfulness and gentleness and compassion and self-control. Don't ask me why, but last night I happened to tune in on Shirley Boone's, Pat Boone's wife's, memorial service. Now, I don't do that very often, but it was sitting there, and I said, huh. And what was happening was that Michael Smith was singing, and he's a pretty good singer, and so I thought I would listen to that. So I clicked it on. Well, I caught myself watching a two-hour service. But one of the things that was really interesting is that Shirley Boone was gave tremendous amounts of money. She was known for her big heart. She was known as a singer. Her father was Red Foley, and her mother was Mary Martin, so she must have had some talent. And of course, she was married to Pat Boone, and they had four children. And so the chancellor at Pepperdine University, where she and Pat went to school together, asked her a question. And she said, "You have a phenomenal legacy, but what do you want your legacy to be?" She said, after thinking for a moment, "I would like for my legacy to be that I taught my children the fruits of the Spirit." After all the things she could have listed, that was the most important to her. And so teaching our children spirituality, bring them into a world that honors spirituality, I believe is so vitally important to each and every one of us. And these are the fruits that we would deliver to our world through the realization of the whole Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of divine love, the Holy Mother expressing through us as us. So, let me see if I can catch this up. There we go. So now the time has come through us, through you and me, each and every one of us, to birth a new world that starts right here at Unity Renaissance. That's why you're bringing in a new minister. Not to duplicate the old world, which has been great, but bring in new ideas, new thoughts, and to birth the legacy that will become Unity Renaissance in the future. We are becoming the perfect mother for birthing a full, progressive, positive, and practical ministry bearing the fruits of the Spirit. What an awesome time to be at Unity Renaissance, to experience Paul's love, and for some of you, all the loves of the ministers in the past, to experience that mothering aspect that has always been present here, to experience each other, honor each other, work through your differences. Because when we get more than four people together, they say three usually, there'll be some differences. But we can move ourselves through the fruits of Spirit into and understanding one another so that those differences are really bringing us together in a new birth. So I see for you the perfect mother guiding and directing you through the power of the Holy Spirit. I know it's happening because I'm getting to know you. Thank you. Now let's prepare for meditation. And as we do, I give you this opportunity to go into this moment of silence. to breathe in and breathe out. To breathe in feeling the love that you are and you have received. To breathe out and release any disappointments, any sadness, any misunderstandings about our mothers. And as we do that, we again open that heart space where divine, wonderful, magnificent, mind-boggling ideas come forth. Where we find the capacity to forgive and to live comfortably. Where we find the capacity to know that we are the ones who are divine, as everybody is divine. So we take this moment to think about someone who in some small way has mothered you, and to say thank you. And again, we'll go into the silence to remember either one who mothered you, or who tried to mother you, or who was a mother that you are close to, or maybe a mother that you're estranged from. And to behold the Christ, to behold the Christ in that person. Give yourself space to allow Spirit to move you, to maybe to reach out, to touch that mothering figure, that nurturing figure in your life, and to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And so it is. Namaste.
Spirit flow through me.